Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Michelle Snyder. She is the managing director of the Market Gauge Group, also writer, author of the best-selling book, Plant Your Money, Tree, A Guide to Growing Your Wealth. I've had Michelle on the show a couple times before, and Michelle, I want to start off simply by more or less recapping where the markets and certain other assets stand at the end of this year. Who would have thought that in March or April or May, we would be sitting here at the tail end of December saying U.S. equity markets are at all-time highs, and we're also seeing some of the more industrial metals and commodities also breaking out, copper being at multi-year highs. Oil is even up. It was just closing in on $50 a barrel. Michelle, what's your takeaway from where the markets stand at the end of the year compared to where we were, say, 6 months ago when fear was taking over?
Well, I think that the market, before the pandemic hit, we were already on some level of recovery. Obviously, we had an incredible low jobs rate at that point, the lowest that we had had historically in a long time. And everything was moving along pretty well. There were bubbles along the way that we had to be cautious about, China being one of the biggest ones with the tariffs and the trade war. But we went through a real long period of calm in terms of the geopolitics, and I think that helped the overall market as well. And so it seemed like coming into 2020, everything was going to go smoothly like that, and of course, then the pandemic hit. And so that liquidity crunch that we saw, when we started to get the Fed buying a tremendous amount of equity, obviously, and they've been buying a lot of bonds, and the interest rates staying close, not just here to zero, but throughout all of the central banks globally. And then on top of that, we started to get the government stimulus and then the immediate work on the vaccine. The optimism took over again. And what's been really interesting is just how optimistic people are until actually today. And it's not even that people have turned more pessimistic. I think it's just a little bit more uncertain with the fact that this virus, we don't know exactly how it's going to mutate. We know it's mutating, but we don't know if that means the vaccine is going to be effective against that mutation or not. So if we just pull that out and just pull the whole pandemic out of the mix, what we have is, yes, a great divide between the people who have really suffered through this pandemic and have lost jobs and careers and businesses, et cetera. But we also have a tremendous amount of people whose 401ks have really gone up this year. And I've talked to people whose 401ks have doubled, even though they haven't been working very much. So I think that at this point, we have a consumer pent-up demand going into 2021. People are ready to spend money. They're ready to travel. They're ready to get on with their lives. And now we have to navigate through what's going to happen here with this mutation thing. And then also there is some optimism on a new administration. But of course, that could create a whole new set of problems that we don't really know what will emerge from. Like, for example, let's go back to foreign policy. So what happens now with a Biden administration? Is he going to be more hawkish than Trump was? What's going to happen with North Korea and Iran and Russia and China? These are all the question marks. But for now, I really do believe that based on what we saw and how much speculation we're getting in the market, that I would anticipate that any good correction we get would be a buy opportunity.
Okay, so that whole buy the dip still relevant for these markets. And fair enough, this year was another great example of, yeah, it was a big dip, but boy, oh boy, was that ever a great buying opportunity. As we move into next year, even with all this uncertainty, where are you finding value or where are you most attracted to sector-wise? That could be hard to answer depending on time frame, because even this year was a great example of different sectors that took the lead at different times. But let's say early on next year, where are some of your focuses going to be?
Well, you brought up commodities when we first started chatting, and I think that's an excellent area to continue to look at as we're getting into 2021. But as an old commodities trader myself, that's where I got started. Usually commodities rally for reasons that are not so great for in other areas, like, for example, obviously environmentally. So we've had a situation with the food commodities really going up here in 2020, and I expect that to continue. So I'm looking for more opportunities in corn, soybeans, wheat, some of the soft commodities, sugar. and even coffee. These are the things that we're looking at, and we're already in a lot of those positions, and we're looking to add to those positions. As you mentioned, steel and copper, the industrial metals have gone crazy, and we don't see any reason why they won't continue, at least hopefully consolidate, but at least stay strong. But what does this mean? So part of the reason why the commodities have gone up, particularly the industrial commodities have gone up, is because we've had this terrible supply chain disruption with COVID. And so there has been a low supply. We've had a labor force, obviously, that has diminished because of COVID. So we don't have enough people out there moving stuff. We've had actually gridlock in the oceans with some of these tankers sitting there unable to dock. And now we have La Nina coming this year, which typically creates drought in some of the biggest growing regions like Brazil and Argentina, for example. So with the dollar weak and the interest rates low and some environmental issues and production, which really basically had slowed even before COVID because farmers were overproducing, this could be a good thing until it's not. So that's something that when you talk about time frame, I want people to understand that at this point, reflation, everybody's excited about. But when reflation becomes inflation, then you put the Fed in a situation where they have to deal with it. Otherwise, you get runaway inflation, and that has its own host of problems. So I just want to put that out there because that's really our major focus, is buying more commodities. In terms of the metals, silver is leading the gold, which is an indication of inflation. So we're looking to see if gold can get through and hold over this 1900 level. Silver right now looks like it's headed higher. The miners have been sort of lagging behind. So there's still some issues there. Bitcoin, of course, I don't see any reason why that's going away anytime soon. But if we move away from that, I'm also very interested in the cannabis space. I think that between what's happened recently with talk with Tilray and Aphria in Canada, actually, in terms of a merger there, what's happening in the United States after the last election, five states going legal, and obvious in this country, we want marijuana to be legal. I think that's going to provide great opportunity. I'm also really looking a lot at the idea of these electric vehicles and what is it going to mean for electricity demand. So I'm looking at some grid play type stocks like Beam, which is BEEM, and GP, and AES. These are all symbols of grid plays that look pretty interesting. So I'm looking at tech, but not the big classic tech of Microsoft and NVIDIA and Google and Facebook. I think we're going to see maybe some problems there with antitrust. I'm looking at the newer tech like Snow and Fastly and HubSpot and Zebra. You know, those are the ones that interest me. And then a couple of others. I like the media stocks. I think the administration that's going out had been really, really heavy on bashing the media, and some of those stocks got beat up as a result, but now we're seeing Viacom and Fox A and AT&T coming back. And interestingly enough, the other area is insurance. One of the predictions for this year is that we're going to have more weather events, and so I'm looking at Travelers and United Healthcare, CVS, Allstate. All these insurance companies could also, had they been beat up, they could also start to reemerge.
Okay, let's take some of these one by one. The first being this whole inflationary theme. You even mentioned that if inflation picks up too much, you think the Fed could react. What sectors in particular are you going to be looking at when it comes to showing you signs of increased inflation? Because in all fairness, right now you look almost across the board at commodities and even currencies, the dollar. They're both showing us that inflation could be picking up here.
Well, interestingly enough, besides what I just mentioned about silver, the silver to gold ratio is sort of the classic old school tell for inflation starting to get out of control. And that's when the silver starts to outperform the gold. And we've been seeing that now over the last couple of months. In fact, even as of we're talking on Monday, the 21st, it's still happening. Silver is up almost 2%. And gold is actually down. So yes, silver has industrial usage. And as we've mentioned, the industrial metals have gone up. It has that other play too, which is the inflation indicator. And another one, which really nobody, very few people, I should say, even think about, is sugar. Sugar is an interesting early warning sign for inflation for a few reasons, because when the sugar prices start to go up, it usually means a couple of things. From a cultural standpoint, people turn to sugar during hard times, even though sugar's gotten bashed because of the fact that it's unhealthy. It doesn't matter. It's in everything. It's insidious. So when those sugar prices start to rise, really what you're getting is an indication now that the last most hated crop is starting to actually go up too. And that could mean that that sends all those food prices much, much higher, as we're seeing. So I'm watching those two things particularly. Obviously, the interest rates are really what we're talking about here, is what the Fed would have to do. And the yields have already gone up somewhat. One would think that if the market corrects, the long bonds would be something that people are flying to for safety. But the market's gotten a little smarter here. And so that's really what we have to see what happens is what does the Fed do next year on the talk? Do they talk about keeping rates at zero forever, or do they start talking about the fact that they're going to reduce the balance sheet and they're going to let the rates go up a little bit because they have to deal with the inflation? They're going to look at oil. And you mentioned oil before. To me, that's the X factor here. They weigh their metrics on oil. And oil is still relatively cheap. It was starting to go up over the month of December. I had a little bit of a correction with the mutation news because of the fear in Europe closing down. But if oil maintains a $50 a barrel and that starts to go up, I think you'll start to see the Fed singing a different tune. Right now, the Fed is ignoring what's going on with food because their metrics don't even include food. They'll be watching the oil market.
Okay. Yeah, very good comments on that aspect of what the Fed is watching for inflation. Final comments. Let's go into the cannabis sector just a little bit because you mentioned some of the bigger names. Are you more focused on U.S. plays because of that whole legalization argument, or are you looking elsewhere? And also, what sector, what development stage are you looking at when it comes to cannabis plays?
Well, first of all, I mean, if you really wanted to look, I'm actually in Tilray right now and have been and happily got into Tilray before the merger, which it hasn't actually gone through, but the merger between that and Aphria started to come out in the news and the headlines, and then Tilray went up like 30%, and now it's been correcting. So I think that's still a really good opportunity. But if you wanted to look at an ETF, for 2021 in the cannabis play, you could look at MJ, which I love the fact that it's called MJ, Mary Jane. And that right now also made a big move, has started to correct. And I think it's a very clear signal. If you just wanted to make it easy, you set an alert if it starts to have a weekly close over 16. Because if it does get over $16 and closes over $16, particularly on a weekly close, you have a base now going back from the entire year of 2020. That would mean that we could see a nice sizable rally in that whole area up to around $22 to $25. So that's one way, because then you don't have to focus on anything in particular stock-wise. But Grow Generation has been a darling this year, and that's actually made new highs already as we're starting the week. And ACB, which is another one that people are keeping an eye on, that hasn't done very much, but it's hanging in there. CGC, Canopy Growth, also hanging in there. So this is really where I would be looking now. With any signs of strength as we go into 2021, I think the opportunity is great. And then some of the ancillary aspects of marijuana. Like, for example, Scott's Miracle-Gro has been a hot stock this year because it's tied to marijuana. Anything that has to do with the cultivating, the distribution, and even the marketing, until we get into a more legal situation here in the United States, are still really, really interesting plays.
All right, Michelle, we are going to wrap it up there. Interesting comments. Again, Michelle is the managing director of the Market Gauge Group. Michelle, I'm sure I'll be having you back on the show probably early on in the next year. So I hope you have a great rest of your week. I hope you have a very Merry Christmas, a very happy holiday season. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Mary, and happy to you as well.